Okay, council, it is 6:30 PM, so I'll call our meeting to order. We have a pretty packed agenda and we're 30 minutes late due to building issues. So I just want to jump right into things today with our traditional territory acknowledgement. The University of Alberta and the University of Alberta Students Union occupy Indigenous land in a Musqueam, Wiskiakan, or Beaver Hills House on Treaty 6 territory. From time immemorial, the banks along the river valley have been known as the Pohonan, a meeting place for the Nihiowak, or Cree, the Niitsitapi, Blackfoot, Métis, Dene Suliné, Ojibwe, Soto, Anishinaabe, Haudenosaunee, and others. The university, the Students' Union, and much of the city are located on the unlawfully stolen land of the forcibly removed Papas Chase Cree. We acknowledge that sharing this land gives each of us the responsibility to research the historic contexts of Treaty 6, to reflect on our personal relationships to the land, the nations we've named, and to our roles in upholding justice on this territory. Since they began, the Students' Union and the university have benefited from historic and ongoing dispossession of land and resources from Indigenous peoples. As a result, it is our responsibility to seek the restitution of this land and its resources. Finally, we seek to do better by working to make our learning, research, and governance align with the histories, languages, teachings and cultures of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit peoples in the land presently occupied by the Canadian state. We encourage critical reflection by asking the following question. In relation to the territory on which you are situated, what role do you play in strengthening the resistance and resurgence of Indigenous students within your communities? I'm not going to spend too much time on the treaty acknowledgement, but just as we move into the next trimester and we'll be reciting the oath again today, I just encourage everyone to take a moment to reflect on the work we've done so far and the work that is still ahead of us for the rest of the council year. So like I said, per standing orders, we will recite the oath again today. We do that once per trimester. And as we renew that oath, I just want you all to reflect on your experiences over the last 4 months and consider some of the following questions. How has our work upheld this oath, and how can we better our work and practices to align with the oath? And upon that reflection, should we be changing how we engage with our work in the coming 8 months? So I think I won't have everyone turn on their microphones for this because that's going to get very loud, but I'm just going to say the oath in small bits, and then I'll just have you repeat after me, including those people on Zoom. Before we go ahead with that, are there any questions about the recitation? Okay, seeing none, I will begin. I am not here for me. I am here for the people that lent me their power in exchange for a promise. I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interest in mind. I will vote after knowing the facts, not before. I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own. I will oppose ideas, not people. I will think before I speak. Not speak just to think. I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all. I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own. I am not here for me. Okay, thank you, everyone. You can look forward to that again in January, I believe. It is a very important idea. Levi?
Again, after the next meeting after the by-election, too.
Yes, you are correct. So once we bring on new counselors from the by-election, we will also repeat it. So I just encourage you all to reflect on that as we move forward in this meeting and beyond. So moving on to speaker's business, I have a few things to talk about, but I do just want to kind of move them quickly. So I'm going to cut down on some of the explanations. If you have any questions about them, feel free to contact me through my email, which is speaker@uasu.ca. Staff has had a conversation about voting and issues with tracking members in the meeting. We did talk about this at CAC today, and it was fruitful. I look forward to a more fulsome solution being presented. But in the meantime, I'm just going to ask that members, if you leave or re-enter the meeting, whether in person or Zoom, you let Courtney know. And the reason for this is just it becomes extremely hard to track voting numbers and quorum when people are coming in and out of the meeting. And ultimately, this isn't a responsibility that should be on staff to track because they have a lot of other work to do during the meeting. So if you're coming in or going out, even if it's just like briefly, make sure you let Courtney know so we can keep track of that. If you're on Zoom, send her a message in person. A WhatsApp chat is probably fine. Yeah, WhatsApp chat works. And again, this is just to help us keep track of voting. I just wanted to talk about presentation extensions and late ads, given our last meeting was entirely presentations. This isn't really a change to the rules or anything, just my approach. And I just wanted to give you all a heads up. I'm just not going to be offering extensions to presentations as readily. If you want an extension, that is your right to ask for and make a motion to council, but it's your responsibility to ask for that. I'm not going to be offering them all the time. And the same goes for late ads. If you have an item on the late ads, it needs to be special ordered onto the order paper if you want it on the agenda. And I'm not going to be offering this at our meeting. So if you want your item included on the agenda, make sure you make it known ideally at the beginning of the meeting. Are there any questions about those expectations? Arun?
Would now be a bad time to special order things?
Let me finish my speaker's business and then feel free to go ahead. An exciting new piece of information. We have two members joining us through the vacancy petition process. They will be with us until the by-elections. Unfortunately, only one of them could make it tonight, and that is Letitia Satam, I believe, who is filling one of the AILS seats on council. So Letitia, if you'd like to give just a brief introduction of yourself.
Yeah, hi, so I'm Letitia. I'm in the faculty of AILS, and I'm going into my first year of nutrition. I'm originally from Newfoundland, and this is, you know, kind of my first time in Alberta, so I'm really enjoying it. You know, kind of outside of this, I sit on the board of directors for Kids Help Phone, which it's the biggest provider for free mental health services in Canada. So, you know, mental health is definitely one of my passions. And yeah, I'm really excited to be here today, and I look forward to working with all of you guys throughout the year.
Thank you. We're excited to have you with us. AILS has gone historically underrepresented, so it's exciting to have someone from that faculty here. So, welcome. And just for your information, the other person joining us is Colton. I believe his last name is Maronick, and he is filling the Native Studies seat until the by-election. Kind of like a housekeeping item. If most of you will remember that Haroon left us midway through our last meeting, and there's just some confusion with the fate of his the items of business he brought forward. There's miscommunication, and I misadvised him on the process. So just given that there was some mistakes, particularly on my end, I am just going to special order that item onto our agenda under closed session, because it is a motion for in camera. So I will just give Courtney a moment to add that. And while Courtney adds that, sorry, did you have a... If you need to look it up, I'm just going to talk about closed session. Yeah. So some of you may have noticed closed session is a sort of new section on our agenda today. It is in standing orders, and we technically should always be using it for in-camera items. Just for whatever reason, it fell out of practice. So I've asked staff to include it back on the order paper. And essentially what it is like when you submit items for the agenda, you'll just have to indicate that it goes under closed session if it's to be done in camera. And then just like normal, we vote to move into closed session. And the only distinction is that we automatically move into committee of the whole with closed session, which is often something we do with in-camera motions anyways. So it just kind of streamlines the process and gives them a specific place on the agenda per standing orders. Okay, so Haroon's motion has been added. And to clarify, that's the motion from, I think, last meeting. Personnel discussions, yeah. And that brings me to the end of speaker's business. So I believe you had a motion.
Yeah, I had a problem with the firing motion. So if I want the special order to be on the item that we had on the lead ads, the one we talked about, the ASL translator, I don't think that's a contentious issue. Can I just put an order to the...
You cannot under special or onto the consent agenda. And also just reiterate, I meant to do this in my notes. Things should only be added from the late additions to our agenda if they are pressing and urgent. Standing order says if it risks serious and detrimental consequences to the students' union. So I just want everyone to keep in mind that there's a bar for something to be added to our main agenda. And per standing orders, it shouldn't just be done frivolously.
Hello, Haroon. We have multiple complaints about mic use. So just as a friendly reminder, please use your mic when talking.
So sorry. What was it? Okay. So in that case, then, is there not like some rule that I can just, is it not 75%? The two special to suspend standing orders to allow for that?
You can if you would like.
Okay. I'm going to move to suspend standing orders to... do I have to cite these first?
No, and the preferred format is to just say that what you want to do. Okay. So for example, suspend standing orders to allow Milan's
motion
onto the agenda.
To allow Milan's motion onto the agenda under consent agenda.
Consent agenda specifically?
Regarding the ASL interpreter.
I believe, so Milan had wanted to change that to a discussion item.
Oh.
Is that still correct, Milan?
Mr. Speaker, I actually would like to withdraw a motion pending for a consultation with the executive committee.
Okay, thank you for that information. This point is now moot. Was there anything else before we proceed? I see Chan Preet.
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to make sure that my motion, the changes that I made are already reflected, so they're already on agendas.
Yes. So Chan Preet did slightly change his motion under board and committee business. That's item 8A on your agenda. It just changes the committees that are being asked to report. Given that it's just a slight amendment, I allowed it. So that has been reflected. Thank you. I did see other members wanting to be recognized.
Yeah. Sorry, I wanted to make a motion to suspend
standing orders. Haroon, can you please use your mic?
Sorry. I wanted to suspend standing orders to allow for closed session to come right after presentations.
The entire closed session?
Yeah.
Okay. So the motion is to special order the entirety of closed session to after presentations. Is there a second for this? I see Milan seconds. Okay. Would you like to give a brief rationale for why?
Yeah, both these, I think the motions that Mark raised are pressing matters that we've had to deal with a couple times, especially the one regarding the our dining services. So I was thinking it's important that we deal with that. I was also thinking too that the motion that I weird hearing your own voice, eh? I was also thinking too that the motion that I raised regarding the speaker pay and specifically the Dibor case is really a pressing matter, considering the Dibor case is on September 10th. So yeah, I would appreciate it if we can get those three matters.
Okay, I don't want to spend a lot of time in debate on this. Is there any opposition to this, Levi?
There's a reason why we specifically set closed sessions at the end of the agenda. We've got the gateway here. We've got some guests that haven't signed the NDA. If we go into closed session, they're going to have to leave. We don't know how long that's going to take. And it doesn't necessarily seem fair to me that we kick them out for any length of time. It might be half an hour. It might be an hour. We don't know. And then they're sitting out there twiddling their thumbs, waiting for us to finish this when really there's a big worry that we need to move all the important stuff up when really we just extend the meeting or don't, like we did last time. So for anything that we don't need the public here, that should always be towards the end of the agenda, just so we don't run into this issue again.
Okay, thank you. We started late, so I'm not going to get into any more debate on this. We'll just move straight into a vote. There has been a for and against for this. So this requires a two-thirds vote to pass. If you are opposed to the motion to special order the entirety of closed session to immediately after the presentations, please make it known by a raise of hands. Keep those up. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. I see 20 opposed. Okay, so that's 22 opposed. That fails. Okay, before we move on to any other business, I do want to take attendance because that is required right now. So for our new member, I'll just call out first names, say present or here. Milan?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Speaker. We moved on from the consent agenda because there is one more request I want to make.
Sorry, say again.
There was one more request I want to make in regards to the consent agenda.
Is it related to something on the consent agenda?
It's related to something on the late ads.
Okay.
Like asking for a late ads to be on a consent agenda.
To move something from the late ads to the consent agenda.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, so what would you like to do?
I would like to special order 2000 disorder agenda item 10-8B from the late ads to the consent agenda.
Levi?
Point of order, items cannot be special ordered to the consent agenda.
Yeah, so that would require us to suspend the rules. So would you like to suspend the rules to move that item to the consent agenda?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And did you say it was 2F?
Was 8B. In late ads.
And could you please read out for council which item that is on the
So ads? That is a motion RECME move to direct by-election committee to establish a fixed inauguration date for by-election winners in consultation with councillors to consider students in the CRO.
Okay. So that is the motion to ask by-election committee to set firm election dates by election dates.
Not the election dates, that would be a fixed inauguration date for by-election winners.
Fixed inauguration dates for by-election winners. Okay. Suspend the rules to allow item AB. Yeah, that works.
Point of parliamentary inquiry?
Yes, who was that?
Sorry, is that one motion then to suspend standing orders and special order it onto the agenda, or are those two separate motions?
I believe we can just suspend the rules.
Okay.
I don't think we need to actually special order.
Because
they both require 2/3.
Gotcha.
Milan?
Yeah, I just want to clarify to Councilor Ryan Meek. I said special order because I was confused with the terminology. I was intending to just get an agenda, not like the special order or anything.
Yeah. Okay, Chan Preet.
Mr. Speaker, it's again point of parliamentary inquiry, just to know the procedure. So for an item to be on consent agenda, do all the members have to agree that it don't need to be debated, or can any single member request for the item to be debated?
Any single member can request that it be removed from the consent agenda and debated on its own. So for a new member, our consent agenda is basically like an omnibus bill in a way, where everything is just approved at once. And we don't really vote on it. It's more of just like a, does anyone oppose anything on the consent agenda? Okay, so the motion reads, moves to suspend standing orders to special order agenda item 8B from the late additions to the consent agenda. Is there a second for this? Second? Haroon seconds. Milan, do you very quickly want to state why?
All right, so the reason why I'm making this request is in relation to some confusion that was about the day of the by-election and specifically like when the by-election was going to be, that me and a couple of our councillors were discussing last week. So, and after consideration, I have decided to put this motion forward so that to hopefully resolve any situations like this forever happening again.
Are there any members who wish to speak in opposition to this? Levi?
It's like the speaker just mentioned a few minutes ago. Late additions to the order paper may be added at the meeting if the items of business cannot be postponed to a future meeting of Students' Council for resolution without risking detrimental consequences to or negative procedural difficulties for the Students' Union. I don't feel that bar's met. This doesn't seem particularly time sensitive. Even if bylaw was to be directed to do that today, we're not going to get it done in time for this coming by-election. So if we do this later in the fall, we'll have this resolved for the by-election next year.
Okay, Council, we are almost at 7. We haven't even taken attendance yet. So I'm going to close debate on this unless... No, I'm just going to close debate. So again, this requires a 2/3 majority vote. Yes, Horan? Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I have a bad habit of doing that. I'm very sorry, Courtney. What was it? Just point of parliamentary. Like, are you able to do that?
Per standing orders, I can limit debate. I think it's like section 15 or 16. Yeah. And like, to be completely honest, like, do we really want to spend a lot of time talking about this?
Haroon, can you please turn your mic on?
I think Councillor Flamen raised a legitimate point, and I just wanted to respond to it.
This is fair, but there was a speaker in favor and a speaker against to balance it out.
But he was introducing the item, and I don't think it's fair for us to let someone introduce the item.
Okay, I have made my decision. Sure. We're going to close debate on this and move into a vote. So the motion is to suspend standing orders to special order late agenda item 8B from the late agendas to the consent agenda. I'll look for opposition by a show of hands / placards. Keep those raised. I got 17 in person. Okay, so that's 19, 20. 20 opposed, that motion fails. Okay, now we will move into attendance. Abner?
Present.
Gerlin?
Present.
Christian?
Present.
Julia?
Present.
Joanie?
Present.
Alex?
Present.
Letitia?
Present.
Sorry. Abdul?
Present.
Haroon?
Present.
Rebecca?
Present.
Jada? Oh, that is my bad. Apologies. Leo?
Present.
Jashan?
Present.
Milan?
Present.
Fateh?
Present.
Levi?
Easy.
Peen?
Present.
Jaden?
Present.
Paulina?
Present.
Chanpreet?
Present.
Medina?
Present.
Adrian?
Present.
Lionel?
Present.
Ibuku?
Here.
Gabriella?
Here.
Daniela? Charvi?
Present.
Simran?
Present.
Mobashir? Mobashir? David?
Present.
Rana?
Present.
Vedant?
Present.
I am present. Mark is also present. Okay, so moving on to our next item of business is the consent agenda. So that being said, just to make it clear, we only have the votes and proceedings or minutes from our last meeting on the consent agenda as it stands. Are there any objections to the consent agenda as presented? Okay, seeing none, that is approved as presented. And we will now move into our next item of business, which is presentations. I'll look for a second for the presentation to present on the council submission form. Abner, Levi, was that just a second? Okay. Before we proceed, are there any objections to this presentation? Okay, the presentation is considered approved. Adrian, you know the routine, 15 minutes, you can divide that into presentation and question and answer as you see fit. Do you have slides or are you just...
I don't have slides, but I'm just gonna share my screen to pull the form up, if that's okay.
Okay.
Okay
with that. Okay.
1 second.
Just let me know when you start and I'll start your time.
Yeah, I'm good. All right. Hello, everyone. So for those of you who have been at CAC for the last 2 months, you've heard me talk about this forum a lot. So basically what this is a new submission form for council. It was approved at the last meeting of CAC. And in the interim, Courtney has been so kind as to put it together on Jotform so we can kind of see how it works. So this will be implemented as of our next meeting. So any motions that are coming to council starting at the next meeting should go through this form. And this will be the form that's live on the website fairly soon. So I'm just going to take a second to go through it, explain why it's necessary, why CAC had me develop this, and talk about how to use it. So a few things are the same as on the old form: date of the next council meeting that you're presenting this at, your name, all of that type of thing are all on the default here. You will be asked for your email address. And then importantly, you'll be asked for the type of item. So this is going to determine how the rest of the form goes. There's a bit of an explanation here, but it's broken into approval items, discussion items, calls for nomination, written nominations, presentations, and written questions. So there's a lot of new things on here that will allow you to use this form for things that we haven't previously really been utilizing the form for. So approval and discussion, I think, are fairly self-explanatory. Approval is if we have an action item that needs to be approved at council. Discussion is if we're just having an open discussion with no approval action item attached. Calls for nomination are basically if you're looking for nominations for our committees. This can be for council standing committees. It can be for external boards the council appoints to, that type of thing. Written nominations are if you are submitting a nomination for yourself to sit in a committee that's looking for nominations. So that'll be through the late ads. That is something that's in standing orders that has traditionally not been very well utilized, but this is basically an alternative to the 1 minute speech you'd otherwise give. Information items, we've been using those all year. Those are pretty self-explanatory. Presentations, similar thing. And finally, written questions. So for question period, like GFC, for any of you who are familiar with that, you can submit a written question in advance, and the person who you want to respond to your question can then respond to that either in written form or in verbal form at council. So if you do want to submit a question that might require more background research or for that person to look into it, the form submission for a written question is a great option. So let's just take a look at what this looks like. So once you fill out this kind of boilerplate stuff for, let's say, an approval item, So approval and discussion items are the most involved, and they are modeled off of the General Faculty's Council and Board of Governors governance executive summaries. So it requires a motion, and you'll see on all of these fields, there's a little description underneath that kind of tells you what you need to do. So I'll kind of skip around on this because it is fairly self-explanatory, but it'll ask for your motion. It'll ask for a mover, which is presumably you if you're submitting the form. It'll ask for a seconder, and I'll talk about what happens if you don't have a seconder or a presenter, because these are mandatory fields on the form. Does this item require a closed session discussion? So now that we've been adding closed session onto our agendas, basically what this will do is it'll automatically move that item to the closed session if there needs to be a discussion. We know we can't approve things in closed session, but we can have a discussion on an item ahead of time. Has a section for office or committee responsible, if there is one. A purpose of your item, so basically what are you trying to accomplish by bringing this to council. An executive summary, which is just a rundown of what the item is. Any relevant bylaws, policies, or standing orders that your approval item or discussion item references. Engagement and routing. So basically, this is anyone who you've talked to about this. So if it's gone through an SU standing committee, if it's gone through any other external bodies, let's say you've brought it up with FAs or other SRAs, that would go in here. Approval routing. So let's say CAC recommends something that's then going to council, then you would put that in here. Strategic alignment. So this is something that has historically been kind of neglected, but the SU has a strategic plan, and it is something that we have not been following particularly well, at least from the council side of things. So it has a bunch of principles for what we're supposed to be doing as a students' union and as its governing body. We are supposed to be pertaining to those. So I encourage you to take a look and make sure that your motion is actually following stuff in the strategic plan and that we're, you know, serving a purpose through that. That is a valid date. There we go. And finally, any attachments that you have. So it seems like a lot of fields. Realistically, when I was drafting some example motions and stuff for this, it still only takes about 20 minutes, half an hour, if you're doing a good detailed job, especially if it's coming from a committee where there's been lots of routing. So the idea of this form has a couple of purposes. So the first thing is to get you to think about all of these aspects of your motions that you're bringing to council. If you have to think about the engagement and routing, you can pretty easily tell when you haven't done enough consultation before it comes to council. So that's basically what it's trying to encourage. Also, all of this information is going to be in the order papers when you submit your item. So right now we have a bit of a system where because there's so little information coming with items to council, it's really hard for us to prepare for our meetings adequately. We don't really have time to do research because we don't have a good idea of what's coming to council. So what this will do is provide a lot more info so that you can kind of understand what's coming up on the agenda and go ahead it from there. The other thing I'll say with this is basically all of the fields are mandatory, and that's to force people to really think about all of these fields because they should all be necessary. But if there is something that doesn't apply, let's say I don't have a presenter otherwise, what I'm going to suggest that you do is just throw an NA in there. Make sure you think about it, make sure that there really is no legitimate answer to that question. And if there is, feel free to throw an NA or not applicable or something like that into the box and go from there. So that's kind of a run through of what the approval items look like. But what you will be able to tell is with these different items, they have different fields. So if we look at like calls for nomination, this is an especially important one, has same motion, mover, seconder, body being nominated to, what that body does, what a counselor would be doing serving on that body, a list of its current members, and a meeting schedule. So all of this info, again, will come out in the order paper. So when you're prepping for council, you know the week before and you have time to think about it the weekend, what bodies are looking for nominations, and you can look at your schedule and we can do some time management and figure out if that's something we want to do rather than it being kind of sprung on you at council. And then all of the other ones are pretty self-explanatory. I don't think there's any fields that are too confusing. So like if we take a look at written questions, for example, a proposed respondent is who you think would be most suited to answer your question. An affiliation. So this is a good chance for example, our gateway reps to submit a written question through this form, which they're able to do, and give, say, execs or committee chairs or whoever answering the question a chance to think about their answer before council. And the last one I'll take a quick look at is presentations. So presentations, I know we've had a lot of discussions on this so far this year, but it asks again, should it be in a closed session? Yes or no? and it asks for an abstract and it asks for presentation slides. So these are all the things that we require in standing orders. So if you are going to have presentation slides, you need to upload them ahead to order papers. And this is a nice reminder in kind of one package that this is what you need to effectively do a presentation at council. So that's kind of the rough overview. I'm going to work on drafting some example motions and I'll have those posted. I will get Courtney hopefully to post those on the resources website. So you have an idea of what to do. But other than that, feel free to reach out to the Gov team if you have questions on your motions. And then if there's something that they don't know, then they are more than happy to pass it along to me. And I can kind of explain the intent behind some of these fields. And hopefully we can work on this a little bit. Like if there are things that need to be changed, if there are things that are unclear that are being constantly filled out kind of incorrectly, then we can fix those on the form going forward. So that's the overview. I'm pretty excited about this. I'm looking forward to seeing how people use it. And hopefully it's a bit of a reform for order papers. So people have a good idea of what's coming to council. We have better records of what's being done in council. And just generally it evens our equity playing field a little bit as well. So I'll leave it at that. Open it up to any questions. I'd be happy to answer. We can also take anything offline. And I'm going to need help managing the speaking list, if you don't mind.
Sure. Just a note too, if you don't mind, Adrian. I highly recommend submitting motions a little earlier than you normally do. We often get motions like right at the deadline. We will give you feedback if there's like issues with your submission, but we can't do that if it's right at the deadline. So submit your motions early. And we can work with you on the new submission form if there are any bumps.
Yeah, especially as we're kind of adjusting to this. The Gov team's going to need time to adjust this. There's a lot of information that's going on the order papers. So please try and get your stuff in a little bit earlier.
So we'll do raise your hands if you want to participate in Q&A. I see Haroon, I see Levi, I see Alex, and I see Abner. Haroon, please go ahead.
So... if I have submitted motions for future council meetings in the old council form, what happens to those motions?
That's a good question. I would ask that you resubmit them with the new form if you can, just kind of for consistency's sake and stuff like that. But if there is some reason that that can't happen, I think we can probably grandfather them in.
Okay, cool.
I see Leo wishes to be added, and next up is Levi. Please go ahead.
Not a question, just a comment. I said this once before in CAC. I think it looked good. I appreciate all the hard work that you put into this. I appreciate that you were as nitpicky about the details as I would have been. And I think this, like you said, it's going to be hugely beneficial to record keeping and transparency and maybe giving people submitting things for the agenda, like a minute to sit and reflect, like, is this really the best venue for this? Could it go to a committee or something? By having to put all of this stuff in now, it might maybe reduce a lot of the frivolous motions we've been getting.
Awesome. Thanks, Levi. As nitpicky on details as Levi is the biggest compliment I've ever received in my life. I'll also add on to that. Part of this as well is to encourage, with the routing sections, it's really to encourage stuff to go through committees. So we have committees for a reason. Please bring it up with your committee chairs if there's an item that can apply to one of those committees. And I'll be discussing this further at the chairs meeting. So chairs should be really well versed in filling out this form. So if you can get something in your committee and get them to submit it to council instead, less work for you and better routing and governance processing in the meantime.
Alex?
Also not a question, just a comment. I just wanted to thank Adrian for the work he did on this. This is quite incredible. I think this will really alleviate a lot of time and make sure that people have the adequate information to make the decisions that we need to make as directors of this organization. So thank you for doing that. And I really encourage counselors to really think about that. And I wanted to echo what Adrian just said as well, because I was about to say something as well. Put it through your committees first, if that's the correct route for it, because the committees do exist for a reason. So I'm just going to completely echo what Adrian just touched on there. So thank you for this, Adrian.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Alex.
Upper.
Also very short, but Adrian, I just want to thank you and commend you for all the work you put into making this form and for CAC for providing all of their feedback. I think this is a really huge step for council as we move into fixing a lot of the things that we traditionally didn't do on this body to start doing them and try to fix some of our processes. So thank you for all the work and I look forward to using this new form.
Awesome. Abner's actually been using it for different motions already, which is awesome. He built his own, which is really cool. I will say as well, with this, something that we've been working on at CAC and that I'm going to work on over the next couple of weeks. We've talked about a lot of things that have been traditionally kind of just neglected by tradition that are in standing orders. So I'll be working to put together a bit of a reminder on some of those things. Like closed session was one of them that is in standing orders, but we haven't really been doing. So putting together a bit of a quick report on that and what we can fix going forward would be good.
Okay, and last on the speakers list is Leo.
Thank you. So I just want to ask, where can I find this form? Because right now I'm on the website, like the UASU website, and this form is not on there. So where could we find this? Or will you guys like be later on like putting on this form to the website?
Yeah, I think pretty much after this meeting, whenever Courtney gets a chance, we can just change the link over to this one. I just wanted to wait until I had a chance to present on it so nobody was opening it and they're like, what the hell is this? So
just on that too, if you can't find it or if you have questions, reach out to us and we can help you.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so thank you everyone. Like I said, reach out if you have any questions. Hopefully this will be a good addition. And yeah, have things submitted early. Help your gov team out a little bit and they can help you in return by making sure everything coming through council is really well prepared. And hopefully this will streamline our meetings and things a little bit. So
thanks, Adrian, for all the work you put into that. Okay, and that concludes presentations for this meeting. The next item of business is executive committee reports. May we please have that report?
Okay, so it's officially 17 days until Break the Record. I hope to all see you there. If you have committed to being a team captain or you're still interested in helping with like physical campusing, social media boost, there will be a meeting tomorrow in the Cascade Room alongside events crew to kind of talk about that, brainstorm what that will look like. So I invite everyone here to attend if you are interested in doing so. So over the past 2 weeks, I actually recently completed my first responder training to sexual assault and abuse. This was very insightful for me because it helped me kind of like feel more empowered to helping students in disclosures, but also seeing a different way of like looking at prevention work and advocacy. So that's something that I did. And I thought also if students or counselors are ever looking to get involved and get more education, I invite you all to take courses with the Sexual Assault Center. They currently have new courses such as consent in practice, as well as supporting survivors of sexual violence. I've taken both of those courses and they're very helpful and as well as like very inclusive to everyone. So I encourage everyone to take that if you feel comfortable in doing so. Also, Julie and I have just been working on finalizing more details with the new strategy in regards to peer equity. I've been working with DOS and we secured $5,000. So we'll be able to get new dispensers to kind of go with like the new emergency use dispensers. And then we've also been working with the registrar office in regards to making sure we can target those low income students and make sure that they can get like semesters worth of peer products. And finally, this is the second year that we've launched the pronoun campaign. So proud to be able to continue the work of my predecessor, VP Dixon, on that, as well as working with my different counterparts within the university and seeing how we can better utilize this campaign and further kind of create some sort of ally, like cohort of allies within the university community for our students.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to clarify, I feel like I may have made it sound like the entire executive committee, like as a committee is reporting, it is just the individual executives right now, and you each have 2 minutes. So if the next executive would like to go ahead.
Okay, hello. So as you may all have seen, NSO was last week. So we got to help out with pancake breakfast, present address. And we also got the chance to visit the first Howow in the first couple of years in person. We tabled and got a chance to welcome and meet many first year Indigenous students. It was amazing. I won't touch on like a lot of things I have in my report, but the health and dental plan is currently in a blackout period until September 12th. I know it's really unfortunate and frustrating for a lot of students who can't file claims right now, but they still have coverage for the blackout period, but they just won't be able to file a claim until after September 12th. Other than that, the ISA office, they were able to move in as of August 30th. Their office is on the third floor of Sub. The Dewey's menu, the new one is now live. So if you've gotten a chance, please let me know what you think. I personally love the UASU fries and the chicken and waffles. And And the Daily Grind is finally open tomorrow. So please grab a coffee if you want to. Thanks.
Thank you. Next executive, please.
Evening, everyone. So I want to start off with thanking a lot of the counselors who were able to help out at WOW in terms of encouraging and informing students. Remember stopping by there. It was really great to see you all. Next update I have is that the last week, feels like a long time ago now, it was the last week or the week before that, I had the opportunity to speak in front of CDV National News Live in response to article that we're doing on a survey conducted by this group called Studio City. It had a bunch of reports that they'd done nationwide. I can share some of the results with you. It included things like 62% of students aged 18 to 21 said they felt stressed from studying and doing daily homework. Other things like 40% of students were seriously considering dropping out, and this is up 5% from 2021. But there is a brighter side. 64% of students are also optimistic about their employment prospects after graduation. So I think all this to say that a lot of these results point to the impact of the rising cost of living that it's having on students. But at the same time, it still kind of shows that, you know, students are still kind of keen about their chances in the workforce. And this can be partly placed a lot of the transition into work integrated learning opportunities and that focus on giving students the soft skills to be. What's the word here? Be have an advantage in the job market. So that was the biggest highlight there. Another highlight was the executives had a meeting with MP Blake Desjarlais, the MP for Edmonton Griesbach. He's the post-secondary critic for the he's the post-secondary education critic for the New Democrats, and as well as the deputy critic for Immigration, Refugee, and Citizenship Canada. So we had a chance to talk to him about things like affordability and the cost of living, things like how maintaining the doubling of the Canada Student Grant can support students. But also, we also raised issues of the time it's taken to process study permits for international students and getting his support and pressuring the government to deal with those faster.
We also did thank calls leverage counterparts. Christian, you have exhausted your 2 minutes. Could the next executive please do the report?
Hi, everybody. So week of welcome, it has been really fun. And it was so exciting to see the enthusiasm of students because we had the actual full-fledged week of welcome after 2 years. Another thing for GFC, me and President Montero, we met Kate Peters, GFC secretary, and we are inviting her on the GFC caucus to give an orientation to the student representatives. It will also be an opportunity for the students to ask any questions and get more clarity about GFC. I had a meeting with Undergraduate Research Initiative to discuss the ways how we can make it more accessible for students and how we can spread awareness. And finally, I met the VPA from McEwen University to discuss the academic integrity policy. And we have also finalized the working group for this policy, and we'll be starting work on it soon. Another thing, I attended the International Students Orientation, and I got a chance to talk to the University of Alberta International there, and we found some areas of common interest and the areas where we can collaborate. Something that is not on my report, I got a question about the timelines of scholarships and awards. So I reached out to the registrar's office for that. And so the 2 years earlier, they centralized the process because the faculties were taking more time in finalizing the scholarship winners. So it was just last year that they announced the winners at the end of September. So it is this year that it's been quite early. And they said because they're trying to modernize the process. So in the coming years, it will be even faster. So thank you.
Thank you. Next executive.
Yes, hello, Council. It's so great to see all of you, and I hope you're all having a great first week back to school. A few things on my report. As some of the other execs have said, week of welcome and President's Address. I first want to thank all of you for all of your hard work, your dedication to tabling and being involved in Week of Welcome and Clubs Fair. President's Address was a great chance for me to finally get to speak to the student body and seeing people in person. The campus was extremely lively, so I'm really happy to see that. And I want to congratulate all the new students who are starting off their first year. Next, myself and Governor Dorshad got a chance to attend the Board of Governors retreat. He'll talk more about that, but we got a chance to talk about the strategic planning process for the university going forward. We had CAUSE counterparts in Lethbridge, where we had a chance to engage with our counterparts, talk about some of the core issues that we'll be expecting this year, the upcoming provincial election, and how we're going to be coordinating for that. You'll see on the council agenda that I've included a discussion item on executive goals, and it'll be your chance as a group to share with your executives what kinds of things you'd like to work on and engage with over the course of this year. I'll provide more information when we get to that item, but I'm very excited about that. And as Joanie said, Break the Record is in full swing. We're pushing really hard. If any of you are interested in getting involved, please let us know. We have to get to 6,500 and we're going to break the record. UC Irvine has been called out. And lastly, I did an interview on Global News Edmonton, talking about inflation, the rising cost of living, and affordable housing for students, and some of the things that, some of the ways we're trying to hope to address that.
Okay, thank you, executives, for your reports. The next item of business is board and committee reports. So may we please have the report of the audit committee?
Sorry, you said audit, right? Yeah, so for audit, we met, I think, last week or the week beforehand. We were discussing the COFA workshop. We also had the opportunity to meet with SGS to talk about how they're going to be operating their financial like processes this year. I'll also be talking to Celine later this week to discuss that a little bit more. And then our next meeting, which is on this Thursday, will be finalizing the details for the COFA workshop, as well as kind of going over our timeline for audit this semester, and any kind of like wrap ups before kind of like this semester gets into full swing. Still meeting with VPFs and discussing with those running FAMS this year. But if you have any other questions for audit, let me know.
Thank you. Can we please have the bylaw committee report?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The last meeting of bylaw last week, just a quick wrap up from the spring and summer. Kind of just doing some last minute tweaks or finishing up with the Bill 1 stuff that was postponed towards the end of the last trimester. Hopefully we'll get that at our next meeting so we can move on to a lot of the bylaw review and amendments that we're planning on doing, and getting ready for the plebiscites and referenda that are going to be coming to the election next spring.
Thank you, Levi. May we please have the Council Administration Committee reports?
Yeah, I have a lot of updates. I'll try and get through this quickly. But we have our very first chairs meeting next week. So this will be a meeting of all of the standing committee chairs of council, just to catch up on things that are applicable to all of council or all of the different committees, and bring up reminders and any issues that are being faced. So anyone from council is open to submit things to that agenda, just let me know. Council jackets are in. If you haven't picked yours up, please talk to Courtney about getting a time to pick that one up. I see a few people wearing them, which is super exciting. Hopefully everyone likes those. Week of welcome. A bunch of the execs already mentioned them, but thank you so very much for volunteering to table there. Hopefully you got to meet some people. We had a ton of signups for mentorship. Myself and Milan are very appreciative of all of the signups for mentorship that we got out of that. So thank you all for volunteering for that. I know it was kind of last minute and everything, so I appreciate that. Then today at our CAC meeting, we discussed in-person attendance at council. That ended up not coming to a motion, so that will not be a mandate as of standing orders. But I am going to work in the background. One thing I forgot to mention at CAC is I am still going to work with the Gov team to try and increase accessibility to in-person council. So seeing if we can be more flexible with $30 for parking, to potentially be more available to things like Ubers and things like that. And just working on other ways to get people to and from council if they want to attend in person. We're also going to be starting a standing order review more generally, so you can expect more info on that from me in the coming weeks, but it'll be a chance for everybody to contribute their suggestions for changes to standing orders. I know we've seen standing orders tested a lot in the last few months, so if you have any suggestions there, then feel free to bring those up. And then the only last thing is that the council office is open now, which Christian already mentioned, but Courtney, are you still scanning in one cards today? Perfect.
It'll happen during recess.
It'll happen during recess. Yeah. There you go. So get your one card scanned in. For now, it's just going to be drop-in, but I'm going to be sending out a form to everyone in a little bit to talk about what we want to do with that office. Do we want to make it bookable? Do we want to get some furniture and stuff in there? And we'll go from there. I think that's it for me. Sorry, that was a lot. But if you have any questions, you are always free to reach out over WhatsApp or email.
Thank you, Adrian. Can we have the report of the executive committee?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So just four things for me. We discussed staff appointments and approved them for student group committee and sustainability ad hoc committee. We discussed presentations at council and ways that the executive can help support counselors and people who want to submit presentations to make sure that time can be manageable of those presentations. We discussed Week of Welcome, the Aboriginal Week of Welcome, which is Tawau, and our involvement in those processes, and discussing we discussed our meeting to prep for our meeting with MP DeCharlie.
Thank you, Abner. Can we have the reports of the Finance Committee?
Finance Committee has not met since the last council meeting, but we're trying to set up a evening or afternoon meeting to go over our fee policy changes. If you haven't filled out the list, meet, please do so. You know exactly who you are. Please fill it out. Thank you.
Thanks, Julia. Can we please have the report of the Nominating Committee?
Yeah, Nominating Committee has also not met, but as we head into this new term, NomCom has some exciting updates. Some things I'm going to be working on is, once again, I actually found out a couple of days ago, it's also within GFC, NomCom's mandate to help fill GFCC, to hopefully to work with Gerline on that, to fill the 8 vacancies to be on GFC, so we can have a full student caucus. I am also working on finding ways for us to get more students from a student group committee, student at large on the sustainability ad hoc committee, translation committee, sustainability and capital fund committee. So I'll be working on all those different things this semester, and hopefully we can get those filled. And yeah, I'm quite excited.
Thank you, Haroon. Can we please have the reports of the policy committee?
Right on. So policy was not able to meet. Well, we did meet, but we couldn't make quorum. So it was just an informal conversation between pals. The outcome of that was that everyone just has to send in their consultation plans in as soon as possible. And hopefully we'll review those tomorrow, which is when we're meeting again. I haven't told the committee this yet, but another update is that since in our public transit committee, we do have a position to advocate on supporting the development of the Capital Region Intermunicipal Transit Network. I'll have the opportunity tomorrow to speak in front of City Council in regards to the Edmonton Metropolitan Transit Service Commission and that project, recognizing that we have a lot of students in the surrounding areas for Sherwood Park, St. Albert, Strathcona, who transit into and out of the city. So this would be a huge benefit for them, especially increasing the services. So that is one of the ways our policies are being supported and advocated on.
Thank you, Christian. May we please have the Board of Governors representative report?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I had an awesome week the last 2 weeks, which involved me volunteering for some Week of Welcome stuff. And I got to show around a bunch of freshman students around the university and show them about the USU and let them know about some of the services they offer. So I think it was really good to get people involved right away in the USU and let them know what we do. Apart from that, I was also, as Abner was saying before too, we had the strategic retreat for the Board of Governors. So I spent my week preparing for that meeting, and me and Abner went to Camrose with the rest of the board and the executives in the university to discuss the strategic planning for the future of this institution. And during the meeting, we kind of went over where we're at today on the first day and kind of discussed where the university wants to move forward in the future. So I think you can expect from me and Abner, either at this next council meeting or the one after, we'll be bringing in a item to council to kind of discuss what you counselors want to see for the strategic vision of the university moving forward. So with consultation from all of your faculties, and you can let us know what you want out of the university in the future. So please be prepared for that for the next meeting we have. So it was a good vibe from the strategic retreat. Everyone seemed very excited about the future of the university, and we all learned more from some external groups about where they think that we can go. And yeah, so it should be a good time for the university moving forward.
Thank you. For other board and committee reports, I do believe it's just social media subcommittee. Milan, do you have a report for us today? Oh, okay. So also, I guess no report from social
media. I'll also add, like, I added that onto the CAC agenda because they're a subcommittee of CAC. So I think we can probably just take it off the council agenda from now on.
Okay. And there aren't any other board and committee reports. Levi? Did I miss bylaw?
No, Can I do one on behalf of Die Board Hiring Committee? Just a quick update from them.
Yeah, I'm open to that. Okay.
Just super quick update. Shortlisted three candidates. We're hoping to send out invites, interviews really quick so we can potentially get them ratified in time for their training, which is coming up. So we, being that our next meeting isn't for another 2 weeks, we, for us to be able to do that, we may end up having to do an e-vote. So we'll be checking with the chair of that soon.
Okay, thank you. That should be all of the committees that we have. So we'll move on to our next item of business, which is open forum. Haroon? So sending orders says 90 minutes from call to order, which is 8 p.m. today. We can do recess now. I would be open to that. Okay, doesn't look like there's really any desire, so we'll move into open forum. So for our new member, and just a refresher, this is an opportunity for guests of council, so non-members, to ask questions or make comments kind of directed to council or individual members. There's a limit of 3 oral questions or comments. Questions are 30 seconds, responses are 2 minutes, comments are 2 minutes, and it's a total of 15 minutes for the entire open forum, and that can be extended. So with that, are there any questions from guests, questions or comments? There are no questions or comments from guests. Do we have anyone in the Zoom call? Lionel, I see you have. So members can ask questions and make comments in question period. So that'll be the next. No, it's okay. It doesn't look like we have any guests wanting to make comments or ask questions. So we'll move to our next item of business, which is question period. So same, like exact same rules, but for members of council to make comments or ask questions of other members. Are there any members wishing to be added to the speakers list? I see Lionel. Okay, Lionel, please take it away. And just remember, make sure to indicate whether it's a question or a comment.
So I actually have two, like I have one question and one comment. Like, should I just raise my hand again after this?
Or? Yeah, so keep them separate.
Okay, great. My first question is directed to VP External, Fulton. So I have a question on like, since you talked about study permits, the delay. So I saw a post on Reddit last week. So there are international students who have arrived in Canada, but they cannot legally attend classes. Like they're living in the university at the moment, they cannot legally attend classes. So how is the university trying to like kind of accommodate those students who are already here and like who, and those still who like haven't been able to arrive yet, because like, I mean, the classes have started, like they're already late for their classes.
Thank you. I feel this might be a question best answered either by President Montero or VP Academic Girlene Kyle on like what the specific internal plans are.
So thank you for the question, Lionel. So I have had a chance to talk with the provost and the vice provost student enrollment about the challenge international students are facing with their visas. So I've only gotten an update regarding concerns that were raised for me around students who couldn't be back here. And the university has basically given them the option to be able to take courses online so that they can still attend those classes until they can be back. Because of their visa delays. But around study permits, I haven't had a chance to ask about it, but I thank you for raising it. If you can pass that information along to me, I'm happy to check in with the provost and the vice provost and see what information I can get.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Before we come back to you, Lionel, Fateh was next.
Just have a question for Joanie. For the training for leaders for the break for the record tomorrow. It was kind of last minute. And if it's possible to reschedule it or have another one later in the weekend or something,
That'd be great. Yeah, we do understand that it was last minute. If you had signed up to be a team captain like before like 2 weeks ago, you would have known that it was going to be kind of, the training would have happened throughout this week. Although if you cannot make it, that is totally fine. We're going to have material prepared for those who can't make it. We are expecting everyone to make it just because it was sent out last minute, but we also are working on creating another training session for those who can't make it further in this, like next week and a half.
Hey, thank you. Next on the speakers list is Haroon. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Krishna, I heard you talk about the Metropolitan.
Sorry, to confirm, is this a question or a comment?
Question.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just was curious for your thoughts about the city's transit, the regional plan. I'm just curious what you can tell City Council tomorrow.
So a lot of what we're pushing in front of City Council is that this service commission, this commission model works because A, it's a one-stop shop for us to be able to deal with multiple regions. Right now, the way UPass is negotiated, and I know Julie could probably speak to this better, is that we kind of have to like deal with Edmonton and then maybe like the other regions. Whereas this model gives us the opportunity to just like address any concerns with directly one body. Again, it's also about reinforcing transit delivery times, reinforcing transit service times for students, because the common complaint we've gotten from our surveys and from what we've gotten in like social media is that students will say that either the buses are way too early and they either have to come to campus earlier than their classes are, or they're way too late and then they're going to be late and miss their classes. Similarly, if you have late night classes, their buses, the demand has already gone, so there's no bus to come pick you up to drop you back off if you live in the region. So this is kind of an issue, and with the EMTSC, what it provides is like phased approaches to ultimately over time kind of meet these demands and services that students are asking.
Okay, I just have Lionel and Haroon on the speakers list. Are there any members who haven't gone? Levi, please go ahead. Okay, so Lionel, you're up next.
So I have a comment on like on CAC President Adrian about our office, council office space. So like, I just have an idea, like saying, should we maybe consider it like as a constituent's office, like for the council office, just like the constituent office for like MLAs, for federal MPs. So yeah, students can come to the office and talk with counselors if they feel like they have something to talk with us. And we should also make a huge publicity to the student body that like they know there's such an office and they could come here to talk with us. This is also kind of addressed to Midland, like with the SMS, and I'm also part of it. So I will try to sort it out with Midland. And so even if the students coming are not in your faculty, but like we should also, we could always relay the information to the relevant counselors, because like as counselors, like we not only represent our faculty, but we also kind of like represent all the students as a whole. So yeah, so this is my idea. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lionel. Would you like to be added to the speakers list? I'm going to hold off on responses just because we're a little tight for time.
Was it a comment or a question?
It was a comment.
It was a comment, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can add myself to the speakers list.
Okay. So Adrian on the speakers list. Haroon, please go ahead.
Yeah, awesome. I just wanted to give Christian like an opportunity to explain, but I just wanted to share my thoughts now on the EMTS. The problem with that system that they're proposing in the corporation itself is that by doing that, they're giving city councilors, like especially here in Edmonton, which is a larger city, a lot less power when it comes to making changes to how we operate transit. And by doing so, it's going to make it more difficult for us to introduce new special routes, those type of things, which will in turn lead to more delays. It's unfortunately, it's a difficult situation to handle. And I think it would be a big mistake for us, especially as a students union, to be advocating for the EMTS, because once again, the problem with it is that it gives less powers to big municipalities like Edmonton, and it puts them on the same playing field as smaller municipalities like St. Albert. And by doing so, it makes it difficult for Edmontonians, it makes it difficult for city councilors to actually fight for issues in Edmonton. I'll give you an example. People having an issue with the 56, which goes to WEM, right? Wasn't coming frequent enough. City Council was able to pass a small budget amendment and was able to modify that. And now the bus is running every 10 minutes. See, that's possible because we don't have the MTS. But the second we do have the MTS, that means we're creating a more bureaucratic system, which will in turn may lead to more delays, will make it harder for people to actually get the supports that they need quicker. So if you want to make things, if you want to make things simplistic, the easier solution here is not to do it, but instead to just work with people, work within the system that we have right now. And I think for us, I think if the problem here they're having is like contacting different partners for the UPass, it happens once every 4 years. I don't think it's that much of a big issue. I think it would be more simplistic, in fact, actually, if anything, to maybe propose a committee. But you reality pushing all together our transit services together amongst multiple municipalities is not going to work. What are my thoughts?
Yes, go ahead, Fatah.
What is MTS again? What does it stand for?
Yeah, the Edmonton Metropolitan Transit System. So City Council, it would be...
You did run out of time, so I'm going to end up there. Sure. I'm going to say no to responses. Feel free to add your name to the speakers list if you want to make another comment, but question period isn't really built for debate. And ultimately, like, I think this could go to policy committee if it's an issue on advocacy. Levi, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I meant to bring this up at our last meeting. We ran out of time, but I really want to stress upon the importance. Oh, sorry, this is a comment. Really want to stress upon everyone the importance of our standing order section on presentations for anyone who is going to move a presentation at any point during the remainder of the year, and an issue I really hope our new council submission form will mitigate or potentially eliminate entirely. Section 7.1 says that presentations must be sponsored by a voting member, student's council, and can be submitted to orders of the day only if accompanied by the following: an abstract between 50 and 100 words, presentations that are missing an abstract or substantially deviate from the abstract or out of order. Presentation slides that are to be used during the presentation must be submitted to the orders of the day in either PowerPoint or PDF format prior to the submission deadline. Presentation slides will be posted to the governance students council presentation page at the same time as the order papers and included in the agenda package. Presentation slides are optional. However, slides cannot be used if they were not submitted in accordance with the above. Now, we didn't implement these requirements just to make the sponsor jump through arbitrary hoops or to make presentations more cumbersome to present as a deterrent. We implemented these orders to give council members the chance to better prepare for the upcoming presentations. When we have a 50 to 100 word abstract, which gives us a more detailed idea of what is going to be presented on the agenda as early as Friday, as opposed to just a vaguely worded motion moving presentation, we're afforded the opportunity to potentially craft a more meaningful question or questions ahead of time, even before the presentation happens on the following Tuesday. When we require any slides that are to be used added to the order papers and included in the agenda or added to the website ahead of time, we are able to peruse the slides at our leisure and go back and forth as need be, or can just take the provided slides and annotate our thoughts right on them, as opposed to having to follow along with the presenter. At our last meeting during the presentation from Vice Provost Dunn on embedded certificates, I was feverishly left attempting to copy the information on the slides verbatim so I could later craft questions, because neither of those were included. As someone both on the spectrum and someone who struggles with ADHD, I find that note-taking is usually all or nothing. I'm either writing everything down verbatim and not paying attention or absorbing what the presenter is saying, or I'm listening intently and not writing any notes at all. This happens both in council, in any groups or committees, or even in classes. It's something that ADHD medication does help, but this late in the day, when it starts to wear off, it's not very helpful anymore. So
Levi, I'm sorry, this is a horrible time to cut you off, but you have run out of your 2 minutes. If you would like to continue, please feel free to add yourself back to the speakers list. Next is Adrian. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on Lionel's comment. I appreciate that. That's good input. One of the options I want to give as well, once we send out that form to kind of gauge interest in what we want to do with the council office, is like potential for office hours. Like if we scheduled people in for certain times so that we have someone there during certain hours of the day and could potentially post when counselors from certain faculties are going to be present in the office. So we definitely have a lot of options as to how we can go about that. And yeah, I think I'll be happy to work with Milan once we figure that out to get that posted and aware to the student body. So they have options for consultation with their counselors.
Thank you, Christian.
Yeah, I won't, you've already kind of addressed the Mr. Speaker. Like I appreciate your feedback, Councillor Ali. As you also know, the policy will be also be under review at a certain point later this year. So I'll be interested to see kind of your research and takes on this as we are developing that policy. To Councillor Fateh's question, the EMTSC is the Edmonton Metropolitan Transit Service Commission. So this was a commission that was brought together initially by the City of St. Albert and City of Edmonton, later joined by the rest of the regions in Edmonton to see how they can improve transit within like the different regions, as these are in independent cities. So like students wanting to travel in and between these places would need buses. So like you've seen the St. Albert bus that comes from like St. Albert into Edmonton, and same with Strathcona. This would kind of be, it would all work to become its own like transit service that would like deal with all of these different bus regions.
Okay, thank you. Haroon, please go ahead. And just a note, this is your last question or comment. Oh, you took it off? Okay. I did see Milan, were you wishing to make a comment or question?
Yes, I was willing to make him a question, Mr. Speaker.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so this question is for Vice President General Christian Fotheng. So as you know, the Conservative Party Leader of Canada, new leader set to be announced in a few days. I believe that is on Saturday. And currently in the polls, they're leading in a they are leading to win the next election. So my question for you is, given where kind of like the trend in the country is going now in terms of like voting and ideology, how do you plan to like work like the new, you and Cass plan to like work with a new conservative leader to ensure that the ideas are included on a conservative agenda, especially given that there's a lot of conservative MPs in Edmonton and Alberta, that MPs are aware of your priorities and for the new leader?
Thank you for your question, Councillor Milan. I think our greatest strength, not that I think, I believe our greatest strength when it comes to our advocacy is that we are nonpartisan both here at the UESU, but also at CASA. That means that regardless of who is in power and who is dictating post-secondary education policies, our priority is students, meaning that we are pushing for the policies that are going to enable accessibility and affordability, even when it comes to the Conservative Party when they were in power. Things like the Canada Student Financial Aid Program was implemented. So these are just ways that we still work to bring the best solutions. You're absolutely right that it's all about that relationship building. We will try and meet with all the MPs in Alberta, but we'll try and meet with the MPs at the surrounding Edmonton region. We met with MP Blake Desjarlais, but we're also hoping to set up meetings with folks like, you know, Randy Boissonneau, with Matt Genereux, all these folks. And then we'll also be having our Hill Week, our lobby week in November, where we'll have an ample opportunity to speak with all MPs, both in government, but also in the opposition, to push for our policies and priorities.
Thank you. Haroon, I do see you on the speakers list. We are at less than 2 minutes. But they'd need time to answer it, right? So we can extend just like by 5 members approval. Are there 5 members that would like to extend question period? Is that wanting to extend, Milan?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's 2. That they can respond to in less than 2 minutes. Okay, go ahead.
Awesome. Christian, I just had a quick question for you. What direct action have you done as VPX in the last trimester? What direct action have you...
Can you define what you mean by direct action, please?
Protests, anything like that in the terms in regards to the cut to the Alberta student grant.
Councillor Ali, I believe already answered this question in previous meetings, that I said that it was having weighed all our options, involving our partners across the province, it just would not have been sustainable to try and organize a protest in the summer. But we have also explained our future plans that involve the Get Out the Vote campaign, but also things that will kind of happen this fall in terms of communicating to students the importance of robust investments in student financial aid here in Alberta.
So I just wanted to be clear. So not.
So we're not doing responses to comments or responses. We are at 20 seconds. So if members wish this to continue.
I was going to yield the rest of my time to President Montero.
Okay, you have 10 seconds, Abner.
I'll be very quick. Just one more thing I would like to add is the last 4 months have been summer. Students have not been here. Direct action typically involves like something like a protest, having people on campus to mobilize. There just haven't been people to mobilize. So it's something we're going to explore going forward.
Okay. So that brings us to the end of our time for question period. Again, last chance to extend. This only requires 5 members. I see one. Okay, so seeing that council does not have a desire to extend, we will move into our next item of business, which is board and committee business. And the first motion on this part of our agenda is Chan Preet's motion to Levi.
I know we don't take our recess until 8, but since this may end up pushing us past 8, I was just going to move to have a recess now.
If council's open to it, and I'll take attendance too, so that'll bring us pretty much to 8. I see lots of head nods. Okay, so we will do attendance and then break for recess. Just going to give Courtney a moment to catch up with me. We don't need to do like a motion. We can just move into recess. Yeah. do you take it as friendly? Okay. Okay, Abner.
Present.
Gerline.
Present.
Christian.
Present.
Julia.
Present.
Joanie.
You
see. Alex.
Present.
Letitia.
Present.
Abdul.
Present.
Haroon. Present. Rebecca. Okay. Leo.
Present.
Joshon. Milan.
Present.
Fateh.
Present.
Levi.
Plaison.
Peen.
Present.
Jaden.
Present.
Paulina.
Present.
Chan Preet. Thank you. Medina.
Present.
Adrian.
Present.
Lionel.
Present.
Ibuku.
Here.
Gabriella?
Here.
Daniela? Okay. Charvi?
Present.
Simran?
Present.
Mobashir? Okay. David?
Present.
Rana? Okay. Vedant?
Present.
I am present and Mark is also present. Okay, so it is 7:52, which means we will recess until 8:07. Yeah, so we'll be back then. Okay, council, it is 8:07 p.m. Okay, thank you. It's 8:08 p.m. now, so I'll call us back to order. And we will move into our next item of business, which is boarding committee business, and specifically Chanpreet's motion that the executives, council administration committee and finance committee work jointly to present a proposal to start council honorarium by November 30th, 2022. Before I look for a second, I just want to clarify the date is for the proposal. Okay.
So the honorarium don't have to start on that day. It's just the proposal need to come. So we could just kind of evaluate from there onward.
Okay. And okay, I will look for a second for this motion. Haroon, thank you. Okay, Chanpreet, would you like to introduce?
Sure, Mr. Speaker. So council honorarium has been one of the thing for many years, I guess for last 3 to 4 years, kind of being pending on what we want to do. The reason why I put forward the motion is because if we are to implement something for upcoming council, then we need to look at the timelines from now onward. If we have a proposal by November ending, assuming nothing gets done in December because of final exams and anything, then only in January or Feb, we might be able to make a decision on the proposal and then start. And then people who are contesting for council elections in March, they would know what they're expected out of, if there is honorarium or if there is not, or what are the conditions. So just for the council to be a little bit mindful on that. Other than that, the proposal takes away a little bit of public opinion away from the people who are working on this proposal. We don't know how popular honorariums could be in front of student eyes. And it is hard for any exec or committee chair to kind of solemnly work on a proposal to start something that could be deemed as controversial. So that's the reason if council direct the committees, which is the exec, CAC, and the finance committee, and then they present a proposal to the council, then it's the council that's deciding that such a proposal need to be seen. At the same point, such a proposal need a lot of hard work, a lot of research. And that's the reason the council first need to vote on this motion to actually indicate that council is interested in seeing something coming out of it. There's no point in putting all our committees to work through it, spend months into bringing a proposal, and then we are like, oh, we are ideologically opposed to the honorariums. So now since you all have a kind of a background, we are not making a decision on honorariums or anything. We are just saying we need a proposal by November ending. And these are the committees of the council that we would like to work on that proposal and bring into us.
Okay, thank you. I'll look for other members to be added to the speakers list. I see Haroon. I see, let's have Mark, Lionel, Leo, Levi, Alex, and Chanpreet. Okay, Haroon, please go ahead. Yeah, I'm not opposed to that, Mark.
I would just like a point of clarification, as I'll likely have to work on this report if this motion passes. I think council needs to be very clear. If you pass this motion, I want you to be clear with us as to whether you are making a decision that you think, whether you want an analysis of whether it is a good idea or whether you want an analysis of an amount. I hope everyone follows what I'm saying here. I think there are some philosophical issues to address. I'm happy to do that in a report if council directs. But if the conclusion is already made, I would need to know that in advance. That's all.
So would it be correct to say that the kind of distinction you're presenting is either like, is it a good idea to do an honorarium or how to do an honorarium?
That's a pretty good way of putting it. If you're examining the idea, that's one set of analysis that we do.
Okay.
And it's a different set of analysis. And I have, there are some confounding factors. If you're going to have the discussion about the former, there are things I would like to note about our volunteer use of volunteers overall in the Students' Union.
Sure. Given that, would you like to amend to add more clarity to the motion on what you're looking for?
I guess to actually come upon a proposal, we would first of all have to do the research on how other SUs operate, how the honorariums are decided, if it's a fixed amount or if it's an hourly amount, or if it is like U of C, if it is linked to performance of individual counselors, the honorarium or something. So I think all those things would come in a proposal. But what today we are doing is we are making a decision that this is something that we want to explore. This is something that we want to have a proposal on. And then based on the merit, the amount on the proposal, the way the proposal is structured, that's where we can discuss if there's merit in implementing this proposal or not. But we are still making a decision that we want to look into the honorariums and entertain a proposal to start with.
Can I add?
So just before, does that provide clarity as to?
No.
Okay. Abner, do you?
Maybe I can try to reframe it, Champreet. So I guess essentially what Mark is asking is, by using the word proposal, are you asking for us to do an analysis of whether doing a council honorarium is a good idea? The pros and the cons of doing it, all the confounding factors that are involved in doing a honorarium? Or are you asking for us to draft when you say proposal, I mean, what it's actually going to look like, not necessarily looking at the pros and cons or looking at any of that analysis, but just, this is a proposal for council honorariums. I think that's what he's asking.
For like an actual implementation.
I would say the later, because when the governance restructuring task was recommended to start a council honorarium, they already evaluated the pros and cons and everything. So if there is any other additional pros and cons to evaluate, then that would be on basis of the proposal. But we are looking for the later one.
Okay, so can I suggest changing the motion to read to present a proposal to implement the council honorarium? Haroon, are you okay with that as the seconder? Is there any broader objections to changing it? Okay, no. So we will amend the motion to read to implement council honorarium. Okay, we will continue down the speaker's list. Mark, I believe that should answer your question. Okay, thank you. Haroon, please go ahead.
Yeah. This is a weird thing for me to be. I spend a lot of time in the SU. I believe I'm on one of the most. I feel like I am the counselor on the most committees at this current moment. I'm also chair of nominating committee, and I come to council meetings pretty regularly. It's an investment in time, you know what I mean? And once again, like, I can see where concerns would come from other volunteers like Safe Walk and those other organizations. But I think once again, it's a pretty common thing for directors of our organization to get some form of an honorarium. We're students at the end of the day, and this takes up a lot of time, you know what I mean? So I think the SU investing in quality candidates too, that's something that's really important too, is because when you pay people to do work, you can get more higher quality candidates. You know, I mean, this is one of the reasons why councils like city, I'm going to pull city council and parliament again. This is why they pay them 120 grand a year or more. It's because you want quality candidates to come sit on these boards. Right now, as we can see, we are struggling to fill council. So the logical step here is that people are not seeing council as a worthy time investment. And even for me too, sometimes I've been conflicted about my investment in council itself. So I think, you know, I mean, I think if you really want to be able to recruit more students, get more students involved, the best way is to do a council honorarium. We're already discussing council size too, because once again, I agree, paying 40 people is a lot. But I think once again, I don't see any issues with getting a proposal, seeing what costs, where we can start it at, and then deciding as a council as a whole sometime in December, and then hopefully some implementation in January. So, yeah.
Okay, before we move on to the next speaker, I just want to give a reminder about a point about debate. So this motion is about asking for a proposal from these committees. So we should try to avoid debating the actual merits of an honorarium. This is just about asking for a proposal, which council can say no to later. That is fully within council's right. This is just about the proposal. I understand there might be a gray area in between there, but debate should be restricted to the proposing or asking for a proposal.
Point of information, or I don't know what that was. I have to say, Mr. Speaker, I disagree with your interpretation on this. This is a major policy decision that has not gone
the mover has noted that it was talked about in a previous council. The mover may not be aware that an honorarium was imposed 1 year and then removed by the subsequent council. I don't see how you can avoid some discussion of the merit of it, because once you start that process, that the merit of it's actually never been discussed by this council. So, you know, if you want to refer that question of the merit of it to a committee, normally these things come through a committee. If it hasn't come through a committee, then I think the council, and this is just my opinion, would need to discuss some of the merit of it. I want to be clear. It's not my job to have an opinion about it one way or another, but it is my job to advise on impacts. And that's my concern, is that all those impacts have not been fully considered by council, and we can't do that if we just vote to move forward with a directive for us to prepare a proposal where the decision is already made that we're going to implement the proposal.
Okay, that point's taken. I take the point that the proposal would have a clear direction pre-decided. Again, this is a proposal. We're not deciding to implement an honorarium now. So comments should discuss the proposal, but like insofar as you have to discuss merits to discuss the proposal, you're welcome to discuss merits, but it should relate to the proposal itself as like the core issue of this discussion. Are you wishing to be added to the speakers list? Are you asking a question about procedure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just
Are you responding to Mark or are you asking a question?
I'm very sorry. It's a horrible habit of mine. I'm just asking a point of clarity, like of clarity, because Mark is saying that we are making a decision here about the honorarium, but from my understanding from the mover, that we are not making a decision about the honorarium. We are making a decision to ask the execs, finance committee, and CAC to present the proposal. Am I clear in my reading?
Yeah. So, and like where I'm coming from in responding to Mark is that the proposal as Chanpreet is presenting it would just say yes to the honorarium. It wouldn't evaluate whether or not it's a good idea. It's just proposing the honorarium.
So we're not saying yes to an honorarium. We're saying yes to a proposal on the honorarium.
But the proposal itself wouldn't weigh the options. It would just talk about implementing an honorarium.
Okay, it would give us a logical path to implementation.
I think the proposal would be the implementation.
Oh, thank you for clarity.
I don't want to get dragged down into the weeds of this. So we'll move down the speakers list. Lionel?
Sorry, like I'm as confused as this moment because I prepared for the comment to be like discussing the merit of this proposal. Like, okay, no, but like you might find my comment to be deviating later, but I'm just going to say it. So, okay, so first, like I support this, like the idea to establish an honorarium for counselors, as Champry has demonstrated evidence of, like examples from UBC and UCalgary. So I believe that with an honorarium, counselors could be rewarded for their council work in an extrinsic way. So counselors will have both intrinsic and extrinsic motivation to attend council meetings and get involved in governance and likely produce with a better outcome. So, but I do not believe like saying like there should be like a base pay for the like for the counselor. I believe that should be attached to the attendance, because like there are people gonna skip meetings and still gonna receive the money. It's actually not fair to the people who actually attended the meeting. So I think it should be like attendance based. Also, it is important
point
to note
order.
That.
Oops. Levi?
This kind of went back to your previous point. We're not really arguing the motion. We're arguing the validity of honorarium if it passes.
And I will say, just like we don't know what the proposal would ultimately contain. So I think just like discussions of like tying it to attendance may not be
okay.
Relevant.
I'll just say, okay, fine. I support to make such a proposal.
Thank you. Next on the speakers list is Leo. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm a little confused here. What exactly is an honorarium?
So is it like a prize, an award, or is it like something like a salary or something like that?
So just for instance, like I get paid an honorarium to act as speaker per each meeting. So it's just kind of like a recognition of service. That's not really like a wage and like a job, but it's usually paid out to volunteers for their service, is my understanding. If others have contradicting understandings, please. Okay, moving down, Levi, you're actually up next.
Can I move to table this?
That would be in order. Are you wishing to table indefinitely or to a specific time?
Indefinitely.
Okay. Is there a seconder? Okay, seeing none, that does not.
Point of it. Oh.
I think it has to be seconded for me to introduce it.
I didn't speak it. I knew.
I was just going to ask Levi to maybe explain his rationale for tabling indefinitely before we.
So we can't get into discussion without seconding, but Paulina did second.
Yeah.
So we can move into a discussion. Levi, would you like to introduce?
Yeah, I mean, I had a big script and how I was going to go on a big long tirade about how I was against this anyway. But so far, the majority of the speakers list have been either clarification questions or begins with I'm confused. And really, there hasn't been as much for or against. So I think that just goes to show how half-baked of an idea this was and might need a little bit more time in the oven before we debate on it.
Okay. Are there any speakers against tabling? Harun, are you? Okay. Harun, please go ahead.
Yeah. I think this has been something that we've talked. I was on the last council and we talked about this indefinitely. We talked about it a lot. It's in the governance task recommendations. This has been talked about for 3-4 years now. So I think this is something that's well known. The principles is very simple. If you're spending a good, I'm not gonna violate the speaker's ruling, but what I will say here is
sorry, could we please have some respect for the member currently speaking? Please go ahead.
Maria. Sorry. So what I'm saying here is that at this current time, us voting on this motion is not that big of a problem. I think us actually, we're already like halfway down the speakers list. I'm thinking at this point in time, I think it would actually be more or less, if this motion does fail, I'm sure that CAC and other committees as well as, I believe CAC is already going to be working with bylaw committee to implement the governance review task force's recommendations. So I don't see an issue in us proceeding with the vote. So I will be voting against this motion to table.
I will look for one more in favor. Are there any members wishing to speak in favor of tabling? Leo, do you want to speak in favor?
I would like to amend the motion. Instead of indefinitely, can we go like a few meetings away from today's meeting? Because like I feel like if we could figure out something first and then we take it back into council to discuss it, I think it'll be a little better because we need a little more information about some of the stuff.
I'll say that's an order. Do you have a specific date in mind?
I can't really think how long for this to work. Okay. So I'm probably thinking maybe somewhere in December, I would like to say.
Okay.
After the motion, okay, then probably.
Here, I'll give you a moment, pull up the meeting schedule and see if you can find a meeting and I'll come back to you. Are there any members wishing to speak in favor of tabling? Okay, seeing none, I'll have one more opposed and then we can move into a vote.
Sure, Council, I already shared the timeline. I mean, if we ask for a proposal now and get something by end of November, only then we can implement it for the upcoming council before the elections actually take place, so students know what they're getting into. So this item was recommended when Joel Agarwal was the SU president. That was last student union president. That's where the recommendation came. For a whole year, it did not move. Even in our own terms, we're going to reach almost half of our terms. This item will never be decided upon if we just don't decide to go ahead with the timeline. So I would rather ask the council to make a decision if we want to have this proposal this year, rather than just pushing it to a time limit where it won't be implemented. It will be just a proposal. We will be leaving a proposal for next council to think about it, or maybe ignore it like many other proposals that just get ignored over the council transitions over here. So I would just vote against any motion to table or extend the timeline. November 30 is set thinking if we want to implement it for next year.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, just before we proceed, Leo, this motion is actually unamendable, so it can't be amended. I just confirmed. Fateh, did you have?
I would really appreciate if we had the speakers list.
Sure. Can we make a sub-speakers list for this motion to table indefinitely? Mark, were you still wishing to speak? Please go ahead.
My concern is not with doing a report or anything like that. My concern is that I do not, in my opinion, believe that council has all the information it needs or has considered all the relevant factors in how it should deal with the issue of it. We haven't even gotten direction on what the issue here is. Is it to make it more accessible? Is it to compensate people for their time served? I don't believe council has, nor did the previous council, because this was not actually actively debated at council, as far as I'm aware. I could be wrong about that. I don't believe you have all the information you need to make a decision on the merits of the proposal, because I'm not even clear what the intent of it is. So I have some concerns about just rushing forward, because listen, I do exactly what you tell me. If you tell me to come back with a proposal on compensation, great. But as your loyal servant, I honestly, it is my opinion that council has not considered what it may entail and what the impacts of it would be. And I'm not talking about financial impacts.
Okay, thank you.
I have a point of parliamentary inquiry.
I saw Abner's hand up first, so I'll go with him. Please go ahead.
So I'm just looking for some guidance, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to provide some background, but it's not pertinent to directly to tabling the motion. I think it's important information only because I think it speaks to whether we need to look more into creating this proposal. And not necessarily tabling it until a future date. So I just look for guidance on you on how that can be approached, because I think the context that I want to provide may help council instead of tabling it indefinitely into the future.
Okay. So you are on the speaker's list. Yeah. If it's relevant to whether or not council tables it, like I'd accept that as relevant. It sounds like it's relevant to council's decision making. So
it may require an amendment to the motion depending on how the mover feels about.
Okay. The motion to table indefinitely can't be amended.
No, it would be a possible amendment, not to this mover, but to this mover.
So then I think it would be relevant under the main motion.
Okay.
Yeah. Haroon, you have a point of parliamentary inquiry?
Yeah. I don't know how to raise this, so I'm just curious, because Mark keeps saying that the way that Mark keeps putting it is as if we're discussing this, like we're making a decision on the item when we're asking.
Are you responding to Mark's point, or are you asking a question about procedure?
I'm asking a question for procedure, like how to deal with that, because he keeps saying it's a motion to.
Well, if you disagree, you just respond in your own comments. You can't just interrupt and correct him.
Okay.
He's entitled to make comments. You don't have to agree. You can refute them.
It's not agree, but the what's called the mover has clarified that already, but it's continued to be brought up, which is confusing members in this chamber, which is only
he is welcome to provide information. You can disagree with how he does it or what he provides, but you can't stop him from saying that. Okay, moving down the speakers list, and council, I don't want to spend a lot of time on a motion to table. Fateh?
So I just wanted to point out that having a proposal isn't such a bad idea, because at the end of the day, you want to have a proposal first to work on it. And I honestly, like, even if this is half-baked, I guess, motion, it's definitely important to have a proposal first, and then we can debate on what it was. So this is what this motion is saying. Having a proposal, having the analysis first, and making the decision second, which I guess this is how decision making works.
Okay, thank you. Lionel is next on the speaker's list. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as some former councillors have said before, that I intend to vote against any motion to table it, because I believe that, because they're saying, okay, say there's not enough information, like not enough debate, not enough discussion about this proposal. But the thing is, if we don't actually move ahead with it, we never actually will discuss about it like in the full extent. And actually tabling it in any sort of way will only like delay this process. And then like after a few weeks, people forget about it again. And then like we start it from zero or something. Like time is being wasted if we actually would not move with like Fateh said, like a actual proposal. Does this actually work? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we should move ahead with it. Like we should move ahead with this one. We should at least get a proposal, and then we discuss if the proposal is okay or not. Let's get a proposal first. Yeah. Like delaying it will not help. Thank you.
I have a point of parliamentary inquiry. Can I ask if it's a good time? Like, do I need to put myself on the speaker's list to do a call to vote? Is that what it's called?
Let me check.
Call the question. Thank you.
Okay, so that is not privileged. So you'd have to just add yourself to the speakers list and then do it.
Point of information, Mrs. Speaker.
Chanpreet, yes.
Okay. What I'm hearing is that we need more information from the general manager, a little bit on the pros and cons of starting an honorarium. So I would just ask general manager on how much time they need. And if the time is reasonable, I would just withdraw the motion until we get that information.
Mark,
how much time would you need to give council some more information on the pros and cons, and then council could discuss the pros and cons and then reconsider this motion? Would it be possible by next council meeting for you to prepare something?
Yes.
Okay. So I would withdraw the motion, and in next council meeting, Mark will share some information on the pros and cons, and then in next to next council meeting, we will have the motion back again.
Okay. So like technically when a motion has been presented, it's the property of the entire council. So I'm just going to see if there's any objections to withdrawing the motion so Mark can present us with more information next meeting. There's no objections to that. Okay. The motion is withdrawn. Thank you for sorting that out. Okay. Moving down speakers list, we now move into general orders as our next item of section of the agenda. And the next item of business is the motion to discuss recent cuts to the Alberta Student Grant for full-time students. This was moved by Milan and seconded by Adrian. Milan, would you like to introduce? Milan?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I would, given that this is actually been going on, you know, for a couple of months, and given some information given by Vice President Boateng and President Montero on the steps, I do feel like it's more appropriate that we use the semester to kind of plan, make a plan going forward before to try like properly plan things now, everybody's back, and to make sure we have a plan going forward. So I would like to request that I withdraw this motion, as it does seem there's a more clear plan that might be going forward.
Okay, the motion is withdrawn. Moving down the speakers list is Abner and Christian's motion to discuss counselor engagement opportunities with the SU executive goals. Abner or Christian, would you like to introduce?
Yeah, I'll introduce. And if Christian feels the need to want to add into me, I'll let him. But I'm very excited to bring this forward to all of you. As I've been saying for a while now, we as an executive team are really committed to wanting to engage with all of you, give you opportunities to feel like you're doing meaningful work while being on council. And that's the reason why we brought these executive goals forward. We have a series of different things we're working on simultaneously throughout this year. We would love to see you get involved in issues that you're passionate about. You know, whether you hope to just do this work because you enjoy it, or you're hoping to run in the future for a position, I think they're all great opportunities to get engaged, learn more about our positions and how they work, so that you can be set up for success. One thing I will ask you all to keep in mind, the goals are being shared mostly for you to be able to give us any kind of feedback on what you would like to participate in. The goals themselves are not really here for discussion. So please let us know what you would like to do or what you'd like to work on if there's any interest. We're going to take that feedback back, and we're going to talk about at executive committee which ways that can be incorporated. And then we'll reach out to all of you individually based on your interest and talk to you about how we can get you involved in some of our projects. Okay. So with that, I'll open the floor. Well, I'll let Christian go if you'd like to say anything. And otherwise, I'll open the floor to hearing what you have to say.
Okay, if you wish to be added to the speakers list, please raise your hand or placard. Perhaps just like an overview of what the executive goals are.
I can absolutely do that. Just give me one moment here to... It's the one thing I didn't do, pull it up on my screen.
Point of information.
Please go ahead.
Can this list be shared with us?
Mm-hmm. So is it okay if I answer, Mr. Speaker? So you all have access to the actual document and the order papers. So you can go there and take a look. But we're also going to be making a final document. The marketing team is working on drafting that. And that'll be circulated to the general public. So all of you all have access to that document too. Okay. Just 1 second here. I'm just trying to find Courtney's email. There it is. So very broadly, our executive goals are broken up into five different sections. They're pieces of the strategic plan. They're pieces of the ARC recommendations. And I'm just waiting for this a little because it's not opening for some reason. There we go. Thank you. Okay. So they're broken up into five sections. The first one is building an engaged campus community. It's built around empowering student group participation, enhancing our governance structure, many of which all of you are already participating in, and strengthening our collective voices. And that's speaking more to Christian's side around get out the vote and awareness around different activities we're hoping to do, like student addiction. Number two is walking the path of reconciliation. So creating a sense of place for Indigenous students, a number of things that Joni and Julia are working on around the residential school memorial and creating Indigenous student spaces at CSJ, and also promoting Indigenous ways of knowing, providing more education for students. And number three, re-envisioning our learning environment. So modernizing academic supports. This goes around to a few of the things that I've advocated on around creating a syllabus bank, around hybrid learning. Karleen has an items in here as well around Indigenous course content. We have the Zero Textbook Cost Pilot Program, and then support for students doing experiential learning. And this is a piece that we're currently working on around how we provide better structural and financial support for students who want to work integrated learning terms, making sure that supervisors have the information they need, making sure that students know where to access information and everyone has the appropriate resources. So a lot of opportunities there. Number four is creating safe and welcoming spaces. So creating comfortable spaces. A couple of these things we've already moved on as an executive team to get them done early. So the two points that are under this heading around creating comfortable spaces, Julia has already started, if not completed. And then addressing safety concerns on campus. So this is opportunities that we do discuss in policy committee, work that Christian's doing and I'm doing around transit safety and sexual violence prevention. Fostering inclusive spaces. So looking at gender neutral washrooms, which the university has is starting a pilot project over this semester to look at that exact issue. Looking at period equity, which both of these, Julia and Joanie have been working on, and expanding signage and sub. And then finally, fostering an inclusive and equitable university experience. So investing in students, which is pushing for the proportion of hybrid awards. That also includes identifying areas where there's a weakness and looking to make improvements. Advocating for increasing post-secondary operational grants. That's definitely work that me and Christian are doing and having people involved in that process. And then expanding access to post-secondary, which is the university creating policies for students who parent, calling on the state of Edmonton to approve the creation of affordable housing, pushing for bear tracks to be translated, and the university to recognize religious holidays. So a lot of different things that are going on at different levels, some of which may require direct involvement for things for you to work on directly. Some of them maybe just providing feedback and helping us gather information, but happy to hear what people think around some of these issues and things you may have interest in or have ideas about.
Okay, thank you for that introduction. I do see people on the speakers list. Lionel, were you wanting to be added to the speakers list?
Actually, just have a point of information maybe, because I was trying to ask like if I could just comment like in general about like a point, like about like a goal here. So, okay, yeah, I'll like add your spirit is please.
Hey, Ibuku, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for creating this. It's sometimes pretty dissonant as a counselor, kind of understanding what work you do. So I appreciate the fact that like, all the goals are here. I did have a question about what hybrid awards are.
Sure. So the university kind of has three, if you wanted to break it down, three different sections of awards. They have needs-based awards, which tend to be like bursaries. They have hybrid awards, which are merit awards that also account for financial need that students have, and then fully merit-based awards, whether that's on academic merit, whether that's on community leadership merit. So the work that we're doing right now and I'm doing is working with the university registrar to shift that from being awards that are primarily merit-based, which most people and most donors want to fund, to also identifying financial need for students so that they can, for the people who need it most, they can get access to that money.
Before we move on, this seems like it's a bit of a conversational discussion, so I would look favorably upon a motion to move into committee of the whole. Adrian, Milan second. This just allows us to not have a formal speakers list and they can just kind of go back and forth naturally. Is there any debate on this motion? Okay, seeing none, we'll move into a vote. If you're opposed to moving into committee of the whole, please make it known. Okay, seeing no opposition, we are now in committee of the whole. We won't do like a super formal speakers list and feel free to like ask follow-ups and respond to comments. It's much less strict. That being said, Simran, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering just because I know that from at least what I've gathered is that this is kind of like a discussion for what goals we want to be involved in. But I was wondering if it would be like more productive too, if like a Google form was sent out, because I'd imagine that every counselor has a particular goal that aligns with an exec's goal, so that we all are able to put in our input rather than like each counselor saying it right now. So if like a Google form was sent out afterwards with like all of these things or like even additional notes about like a specific subpoint, that might be able to cut down some time.
Yeah. I mean, if we want to utilize this time to for people to just ask some clarification with the little time we have, I'm happy to do that. If people want to tell us right now that they want to do something and it's very clear to them, let us know. But I'm happy to create a form and give people the opportunity to share that.
Okay, next I have Milan, please go ahead.
just want to clarify. So I recall I wasn't there for the whole policy committee meeting when you presented your executive goals. Each one of you executives spoke individually. I just want to get clarification. Is this like a shortened down version, the exact same version, or expansion of like what he said in policy committee? Or I just want to get that clarification.
Sure. This is exactly what we presented to policy committee, with the asterisk that a lot of these things are a combination of all of our priorities put together, right? It's one cohesive document that's supposed to reflect our priorities as a group. There are things that are in here that we're working on that aren't reflected in this document. Things like work that Gurley might be doing with the USRIs to make sure that those are more accessible and reflect the need of students. Things that didn't necessarily fit in the document or were priorities, but not the largest things on a big scale. Those are still happening in the background. We're still working on those things, but they're not reflected in the document right now. Just so the document didn't end up being, 20 pages long, because there's a lot of things that are happening at the same time and emerging issues that come up.
Okay, next on the speakers list is Lionel. Please go ahead.
Okay, so I just have a rather general comment on one of the goals. I think it's 3.1. So it's rather for academic support. I was actually more interested in a more faculty concern, like assessment issue. I think I've talked with Abner about the labs that there are different instructors for the same, for different labs for the same class, but they end up evaluating differently. So student might not have a fair outcome out of it. So I think that's an issue that should be addressed. Could I make another comment or just have to?
Committee of the Whole is really informal.
Okay, great.
Just go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So just this is one point, it's done. So the other point is 3.2A, which I'm also interested in working on, is that the support for students on the work term. So I believe that university and the faculty should also provide active support in the duration of a work, like work term, be it a co-op or a practicum. So very recently, a constituent in my faculty reached out to me saying that she had done her practicum in KSR, but she felt that in the process of matching practicum placements to during the work term, she had received very little help from the faculty. And what's worse of it is that she's paying full tuition to do this practicum with no compensation. So I think this is gonna be I also feel that's a very kind of absurd situation that should be addressed. And I'm interested in working in those. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Just reach out to us, Lionel, and let us know. And we'll have those conversations with you and figure out how we can incorporate that. And if there's something you all want to prioritize that is at a faculty level, for example, and it's not necessarily in our goals, happy to provide you support and advice on how you can approach the situations in your faculties.
Okay, thank you. Levi, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So first, I eagerly anticipate the Google form where we can submit our preferences. Thank you, Sam, for the idea. But in the meantime, the goals I would be happy in assisting with, time permitting, develop a new interactive online interface to support student groups, continue the work restructuring the Students' Council to best serve students, obviously. Create a syllabus bank to increase course transparency and the ability of students to plan for their semester. Formulate an identity for DUIs to improve the customer experience. Oversee the completion of the Horowitz Theater renovations. Advocate for the City of Edmonton and surrounding municipalities to improve transit frequency and coverage of students who commute within the Edmonton metropolitan region. Advocate for the City of Edmonton to expand cell reception in the underground LRT stations. And call on Edmonton City Council to approve the creation of more affordable housing and address challenges students face regarding housing. Now, in regards to the syllabus bank, I believe we already kind of have something similar by way of the course catalog. There are some historical syllabi that reside there, but I think the problem is that it seems to be voluntary. So very few syllabi are actually there. I think maybe if going through GFC or whatever the case may be and just mandating that both course outlines and syllabi and even
final exams or representative material? Because I know that in the wording, it allows them to either put it on through our exam registry or through eClass, but it would be more, I would say, beneficial for anybody that's exploring a class that may not have access to eClass first to get into that. So I think that maybe might be worth expanding upon. Also, in regards to that, maybe look into a similar system to what Nate does, because their entire catalog of course syllabi are online for everybody to see. And it makes it really streamlined if you're having to get transfer credit or bring it from one one institution to another, because it's all right there. It's all standardized in one format. And then a question in regards to the new interactive online interface to support student groups. Would that be a replacement for Bear's Den, or would that be in like to complement what's already there?
That's a great question. The online interface is something that is on Mark's radar, and he shared it with the whole organization. And Mark, if you'd like to provide some more information on what that is, that'd be great. But really what it's meant to be, I'll give you a general overview, is it's meant to be an interface for student groups to go if they wanted to book spaces, if they wanted to, hopefully ideally do event submissions, get any kind of information they need regarding student groups, all kind of housed in one place, as opposed to having to go to Bear's Den and having to go to the SU website and all these different places where students currently have to go, or reach out to Horwitz Event Center. Like this, we want to house it all in one place for people, so it's easy and seamless for them to be able to do those things.
Okay, thank you. If Council wishes to continue this and potentially deal with other items of business tonight, I would look favorably upon a motion to extend it. Milan?
I'd like to motion to extend this meeting to 10 p.m.
10 p.m., that's in order. Levi, is that a second? Okay. Do people want to offer amendments to that? I see some dismay at that suggestion.
Could we extend it by 15 or 20 minutes?
Are you open to just a shorter extension, Milan?
Yes, I am. I said 1 hour just to create a safety net in case it does go over at 1 hour, but I'm open to change it to 15, 20 minutes, yes.
20
so,
minutes?
So, Mr. Speaker, I know we're going into close next after this. The interest in wanting to have a forum, I think, is great. And I know people are kind of explaining the rationale behind it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to create those fields in the forum for people to give us that explanation of what they'd like to see and why they want to work on it. Just so we can save time in council if that's council's wish, so people don't have to stay here really late.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll deal with this motion first.
Sure.
I think, yeah. To extend. So extend by 20 minutes. Is there a second for that?
I'm just going to say we also have two items left together that have been tabled now before. Yeah. So we'd be tabling them again. And we just keep clogging up the order papers by doing this. And we can't move to extend once we're in closed session. We have to come back out. So I would propose we keep it at an hour. And I'm happy to make that motion after if this one gets passed. But I'm not sure how we do that procedurally.
Milan, you're the mover. So ultimately, it's your choice.
Okay. I actually do agree with Adrian. I will keep it at 1 hour, and just not to go against Champion or anything, that, but just like create a safety net just in case, so we don't have to like motion again.
Okay, so the motion is to extend by 1 hour until 10 p.m. Is there a second for this motion?
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
So I don't know if this is a friendly amendment or not. So I would suggest for now to extend it by 30 minutes, since we were already late 30 minutes to start, and then work our way from there.
Milan?
Thank you, Pate. I would like to say, Council, once again, that I'm at the last tent. I know it was be taken at 9 o'clock. So obviously people... So obviously, like, if you can't make it, and I don't mean like be rude on here, but like the last sentence is that it's taken at 9 o'clock. So like in case counselors can't make it, they're always free to go, or they can always go online. My main motion for saying 1 hour is to create a safety net. Like if we had in 20 minutes, great, but it's just so we don't have to motion again.
Okay, so the motion is to extend for 1 hour until 10 p.m. Apologies, just one moment. Okay, this is debatable. I just want to have a short debate on it. Milan, would you like to speak in favor first?
Yeah, so I motion to go to 10 p.m. given that we have still a lot of speakers left and two more orders to go through. It looks like it's in closed cameras, and I feel like it's only fair to I feel like creating an hour safety gap is it's only fair so that way Amy, who's on the speakers list, and Amy, who submitted her motions, gets a fair chance to be able to speak on it. So that's why I'm proposing for 1 hour.
Okay, thank you. Are there any people
point of parliamentary inquiry?
Yes.
Again.
So can we special order them if we can we special order the items next meeting to the beginning?
Yeah, that is an option at next meeting. So we do have a speakers list. Are there people on the speakers list opposing this? Chanpreet, please go ahead.
We started the meeting 30 minutes late. We ended 30 minutes late. We don't want to sit here till 10 o'clock again and again. We have been doing it since the beginning of this whole year, and we're just setting the precedents again and again. So if you really want, I would be supportive of 9:30, but not 10. We just need to learn how to better use our time. We can't keep extending again and again and just expect everyone to give more time than what was expected out of them when they decided to take upon this position.
Okay, it is 8:59, so we're going to do one more in favor and one more opposed. Levi, are you in favor? Okay, please go ahead.
So just because we make this motion to extend till 10 doesn't mean we're going to be here until 10. It just means we're allowed to go until 10 before we have to have another motion to extend. For all we know, we can extend till 10, we'll be done by 9:20. It's like Adrian said, if we extend for a shorter period and we end up needing longer, we have to come out of closed, we have to make a motion, and that's going to prolong things even more than if we just did one big block extension up front. We've done this in the past where we've extended by 10 minutes, extended by 10, extended by 15. Let's just get it all done at once. If we don't need it, we don't need it.
Okay, any other people opposed? Abner, Mark, no. Fatih, please go ahead.
The amendment wasn't 15, 10 minutes, or even 20. We said 30 minutes, and it was because we started 30 minutes late. So 30 minutes, I think, is very much understandable. Also, I would like to agree with Chamcheet again. At the end of the day, in summer, this might be an option. Could have been an option, but during the school year, it's definitely not, because we have other commitments, we have assignments, we're still students.
Okay, thank you. It is 9 p.m., so I'm going to move us into a vote on the motion to extend the meeting until 10 p.m. This requires a two-thirds majority to pass. If you are opposed to extending until 10 p.m., please raise your placard. Okay, I see 7 and then 9. Okay, and what's our total? 24. I believe that doesn't meet the two-thirds threshold. Yeah. Okay, so that motion fails. Does anyone want to try a motion for a shorter amount of time, or should I adjourn? Okay, Milan?
All right, I will motion to suspend Zangoritz and extend this meeting to 9:30.
Okay, is there a second for that? Levi? Okay, we just pretty much debated this, so I'm going to say no debate on this one. We'll move straight into a vote. The motion is to extend until 9:30 p.m. Just a reminder, attendance will be taken now regardless. If you are opposed to extending till 9:30, please raise your hand or placards. Okay, that is carried unanimously. Abner, are you wanting to continue with this, or?
Well,
Okay, there are people on the speakers list. Is there any opposition to ending this discussion? And
can just... I just ask one question? I'm anyway next on the speakers list.
I think it's kind of like an all or nothing kind of thing. Because if you ask one question, then, you know, so. Okay, I don't see any opposition to closing discussion. You're opposed? Okay. Okay. We'll finish the speakers list. Can you undo that? Apologies, we lost the speakers list. While Courtney does that, I'll take attendance because it's 9 p.m.
Abner? Okay, we are good. We got
I do need to take attendance at 9 p.m. though. Gerline?
Present.
Christian?
Present.
And I'll let Courtney catch up. Julia?
Present.
Joanie?
Present.
Alex?
Present.
Letitia?
Present.
Abdul?
Abdul?
Present.
Haroon? Haroon? Rebecca? Leo?
Present.
Thank you. Joshin? Joshin?
Present.
Thank you. Milan?
Present.
Fateh?
Present.
Levi?
Here.
Peen?
Present.
Jaden?
Here.
Paulina?
Present.
Chan Preet?
Present.
Medina?
Present.
Adrian?
Present.
Lionel?
Present.
Ibuku?
Here.
Gabriella?
Ici.
Daniela? Daniela? No. Charvi?
Present.
Simran? Mo Bashir? It's not here. David?
Present.
Rana?
Present.
Vedant?
Present.
Okay, and I am here and Mark is here. If you want to force a close to debate, you can use your speaking turn to motion to close debate. Next on the speakers list is Chan Preet.
Okay, I was actually just reading Bylaw 4000, Section 8.1. The Executive Committee shall provide executive plan to the Students' Council accompanied by a presentation prior to July 31st of a given year. I don't recall this happening, but I might have missed a meeting or something. Could you please provide a clarity on that?
Sorry, Chopper, could you just repeat that?
So the Bylaw 4000, Section 8.1 says the Executive Committee shall provide executive plan to Students' Council accompanied by a presentation prior to July 31st of the given year. So I just don't remember if we did it or if we didn't do it. That's just a clarification question.
No, that wasn't done. It was supposed to be flagged for the executive team, a part of the issues with the way there are deadlines in bylaw that tend to get missed sometimes. So the item that I presented to you is the executive goals. We did a presentation at policy committee, so that was done because it was flagged by the policy chair, but the presentation to council wasn't done.
Can we have a presentation in the next meeting then?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it'll be essentially these goals that are already in this document, just in presentation form, but I'm happy to do that. Yeah.
Okay, next on the speakers list is Lionel.
Okay, so I'm just talking back to the practicum thing, which was referred by Abner as a faculty issue, but actually it's not just KSR, it's also like in arts, and like I was been talking with Harim during the break time that the practicum, like the unpaid, uncompensated practicum is also existing in arts and also like in KSR, so like it's more than just a faculty thing. So just want to bring it to your attention that like we intend to do something about it. Thank you.
Next on the speakers list is Chan Preet. Please go ahead. Okay. Next is... Okay. So we're in committee of the whole, so it's like pretty informal. So I'll say, yeah, sure, if you want. Milan, please go ahead.
Looking through the report, the executive goals, one thing I don't want to criticize, you guys do have some tall goals, but I think one of the things I think a lot of us here are, myself was disappointed, and given that you did promise this in your campaign, Mr. President, that is, I didn't see really anything regarding public transit safety, especially since it's a very touchy topic that obviously affected a lot of students, both in international, especially international and indigenous students. So I was just wondering, does this have anything like with supervising policy, or like why isn't this, why are we not like seeing like any goals like, how come we're not seeing these goals? If you're still are planning to meet those goals, especially given it's a touchy topic, and does this have anything to do with us revising the policy? I just want to get clarification on that.
So Mila and I will answer the question, but just to clarity for council, bringing these goals forward is an opportunity for you to share how you'd like to get involved, not to necessarily provide feedback on the goals. To your point, Milan, there are 2 points in here, 4.2A, B, and C. During the campaign, I did share my perspective on this in addressing universal design concerns and cell phone reception and LRT transit stations. It was mentioned multiple times during my campaign. Those are both reflected in this goals document. So if you have any more questions, I'm happy to connect with you offline.
Okay, Adrian.
Can I move to close debate?
Okay, that's an order. Is there a second, Levi? Okay. This is debatable. If you just want to give a quick. There isn't really such a thing as discussion in Robert's Rules. So we are in a form of debate.
I can give a quick intro.
Please go ahead.
I think we've kind of discussed everything we need to discuss. Anything else can go through the form and can be discussed directly with the execs, since we only have 20 minutes now to get through the last two items. I say we just close debate and move on.
Is there anyone in opposition to the motion to close debates? Harun?
Yeah, sorry. My apologies. I'm still just getting catched up on this. Just for a point of clarity, so the execs are, sorry, I just wanted to clarify on the, can I ask a clarity question on the motion? Not the
motion to close debates?
No, the original motion.
No, you'd have to wait until
I see.
After.
Okay.
If it fails.
Cool. Then I have nothing else to say.
Okay. Are there any people wishing to speak against the motion to close debate? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move straight into a vote. If you are opposed to closing debate discussion on this topic, please raise your hand or placard. Okay, I see no opposition, so debate on this motion is closed. And we move into our next items of business, which are closed sessions. The first motion is Adrian's motion to go in camera to allow the speaker to share a report on member eligibility and answer questions regarding that report. That will require a second. I see Alex seconds. And again, motions to go into closed require a vote. I'm going to suggest that we just move into a vote.
Abstention.
Okay. Chanpreet's abstention is noted. And to be abundantly clear, abstentions are voted or counted as votes to the prevailing side. Not necessarily in favor, but to the prevailing side. Okay. Ibuku?
I don't know what to call this, but like, could I move to extend for 10 minutes because we have 2 points and then each point could be allotted 10 minutes, like moving to 9:40 instead. So then we're not rushing anybody while we're in close.
I will treat that as in favor. So the motion to extend by 10 minutes, is there a second? I see Levi. I'm not really sure if this needs to be debated. You did give a kind of a rationale. Is there anyone in opposition to extending by 10 minutes? Okay, so we will move straight into a vote. If you're opposed to extending by 10 minutes, please raise your hand. Okay, that passes unanimously, and we will now adjourn at 9:40 p.m. Back to the motion to go in camera to allow the speaker to share a report on member eligibility and answer questions regarding that report. This just requires a simple majority. We'll just go straight into a vote on it. Are there any members opposed to moving into closed session for this purpose? OK, Okay, seeing none, we now move into closed session. I'd ask that guests please leave the chamber. Gateway, if you could please remember to take your recording devices, that would be appreciated.